and no deaths are being reported.
Blog Talk Radio.
Crash. State troopers say the jet went down late this morning in a field around 30 minutes west of Houston, right next to Houston Executive Airport. It's believed over 20 people were aboard the plane, which is currently burning. The entire fuselage appears to have been destroyed by flames, with only the tail remaining. President Biden will be meeting with House progressives and moderates from both chambers today. Biden's looking to finally get his infrastructure packages through Congress. The bipartisan infrastructure bill and the larger, more partisan social spending package have been stuck in legislative limbo. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says costs are rising for everyday items and wages are decreasing around the country.
The American people are facing the highest inflation in more than 10 years. They're paying an extra dollar a gallon at the pump and soaring prices at the grocery store.
The Kentucky Republican said the Biden administration wants to spend their way out of the current situation, and all it will do is increase inflation even more. McConnell said what's known as the Human Infrastructure Plan is not free like the Democrats said it is, and contains tax hikes that will hit American families the hardest. Southwest Airlines is dropping plans to place unvaccinated staff members on unpaid leave starting early December. Sarah Bartlett has details.
The policy covered employees who applied for but had not yet received a religious or medical exemption for the shots. The company clarified that it's giving its employees until November 24th to get fully vaccinated or apply for an exemption. The move comes after hundreds of Southwest employees and customers protested the mandate outside of the airline's Dallas headquarters.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents...
And we're back with Limu, Emu, and Doug for the final question. Category is things you climb. All right, Limu, what do you think? You sure? We're going with Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need. Oh, so close. We were looking for stairs. Huh. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see partly sunny skies today. High temperatures around 60, 61 degrees. We'll also have a little bit of calm wind out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain showers. Moving in, low temperatures dropping down to about 51. For Wednesday and running out to the rest of the week, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures in the upper 50s to low 60s. Low temperatures in the upper 40s to low 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Law of Attraction, Traction, Quantum Consciousness Connection and Creation with my mom, holistic psychotherapist, Karine Burfoot. Karine has worked in private practice for over 20 years and has witnessed miraculous recoveries treating those who've experienced trauma. Trauma stored in the body can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. When unconscious, programs and traumas are accessed and released, negative core beliefs and maladaptive behaviors can be permanently reprogrammed. Dive deeper into the Law of Attraction and go beyond whatever is blocking you from the life you want with Karine Burfoot. The Law of Attraction, Traction starts right now.
Wow, I love every time I hear that introduction. I'm Dr. Pat, and I get to do this show with Karine. Karine, we have a great show today. So great to have you here.
Excited to be here. Hi.
Look, so let's get at it. How do we build traction? And I love that you're doing, and I just want to be clear for everybody, the Law of Attraction, Traction. And there's a very good reason why we're talking about this. You know, give folks a sense of today as we look at how do we build traction. In creating our dreams. Let's just take a step back to what we talked about last week and really talk about why the Law of Attraction per se has not worked for so many people.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So I would think that anybody who's watching the show today probably already has a pretty good grasp on what the Law of Attraction is, which is this idea that, you know, our thoughts create our reality in a sense. So what we're thinking on a daily basis, what we're feeling, creates a, a, state that people we tend to live in, and our dominant thoughts and dominant feelings tend to really show up in our external world and kind of be a reflection of, you know, what's going on in our mind. So my guess is that anybody who's tuning in today and saw the title of the show already probably has a pretty firm grasp on what the law of attraction is. And what we're going to be talking about is just more like, why does that not seem to work for everybody? And so, I mean, that's what I'm excited to talk to you about today. That's kind of what I do in my practices. I work with clients, is what is it that causes people to not be able to manifest what they are trying to manifest in their lives, what causes them to block or sabotage their dreams?
Yeah. I mean, and what is the end result of that? Frustration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah, frustration, disappointment. I know for myself, when I used to try to apply these principles and wasn't getting results, I just thought, like, you know, I'm just not doing this right. There's something wrong with me. You know, those kind of thoughts.
I think it's the there's something wrong with me thing that hit people, right? You know, and this is part of what you're talking about here today, because part of this is the work you do to help people understand that we are really an electromagnetic field, that a lot of things going on,
yeah,
and that, you know, neuroscientists have really brought to light what some of the real secrets are, right?
Yes, that we are vibrational beings. And what's interesting is that some neuroscientists estimate we have anywhere between 60 and 80,000 thoughts a day. Those are a lot of thoughts if you think about it. So, you know, what tends to happen, I think, for a lot of people is we get addicted to thinking certain thoughts, you know, like the same thoughts that we had yesterday, we might think about today, worry about the future, we might be stewing on things that happened in the past, instead of really being super focused on what is it we're trying to create in our lives.
This is, first of all, it's exciting that what you're talking about is, and I just can't say this enough, and I really would love to hear, you know, how you've learned this in working with your clients, because the law of attraction, that, and then traction. And the law of attraction is as if it's a one-time event, like going to the dentist, right? Oh, my God. Forget it. I got to take that back. Going to the dentist is not a one-time
event. No.
But
you understand what
I mean.
Coming up soon, actually.
It's like we think about the law of attraction, but we forget energy and impulses. We need to have a momentum. Isn't that traction?
Yes. So absolutely, the momentum comes from what we are thinking and feeling on a consistent basis. So in other words, what the dominant thoughts and feelings are day after day. So somebody might be attempting to create something new in their life or manifest something. I know I did this, and, you know, like when I was in my 20s, I did a lot of positive affirmations, and I would spend 5 or 10 minutes and I'd visualize what I wanted to create. And I would try to feel that in my body, but then what would happen is the rest of the day, if I was really honest with myself, I would probably find that I was having a lot more thoughts of worry or self-doubt or fear or questioning whether it was really going to manifest. So that's where what I'm excited to talk about today comes in, because the piece that took me a long time to really understand is that we have, you know, our conscious part of the mind, which is what, when we're doing positive affirmations, it's the conscious mind that's like, okay, I want to make changes. I want to create this, you know, this whatever new thing it is in my life, a new relationship or more money or a career or better health. That would be the conscious mind saying, this is what I want to do. But then we also have a much bigger part of our mind, which is our subconscious mind. And that is really kind of like the driving force that most people don't realize has so much to do with what we end up attracting, how we show up in relationships, how we respond, how we interact. And that, our unconscious thoughts and beliefs, those tend to come more from, a lot of it comes from upbringing. So by the time, you know, we're 35, we have a tremendous amount of unconscious beliefs and conclusions in, that are stored in our subconscious mind that most of the time we're not even aware we're carrying. But those fuel the thoughts that we're having every day,
yeah,
much more than our conscious mind does. So it's almost like if you had a computer.
I'm not a techie person, so I'm like, oh, do I even use this analogy?
Yeah, no, go ahead. Come on.
If I can use the dentist, you can use the computer.
Okay. So, I really don't know that much about computers, but I, you know, a tiny little bit. So the analogy would be like, you know, if you're talking about a computer and you download an app, right, the app would be the small, tiny part of the mind that's the conscious mind. And when you're on the app, it seems like that's the whole thing. But really, what's driving the app would be all of the hardware, the programming behind the computer, right? So there's like the hard drive and the, right? So the subconscious mind is more like what we would call the hard drive of the computer. And that is so much more vast and so much more complicated. And sometimes like not nearly as easy to access as the conscious mind, but when the, you know, the people that are the programmers that know how to get in there, they can do amazing, wonderful, miraculous things with the computer and also with any apps that, you know, you want to work with. So I do as clients as I work in my practice is I help them understand, like, if they're really wanting to make permanent shifts in their life, talking about it and just doing positive affirmations or just talking about what happened to us when we were growing up is not going to cut it, because you're just staying in the conscious part of the mind, and that isn't going to create the deep internal shift that we need to get to.
I love that you're talking about this. I want to make sure everybody knows Corrine is a licensed professional clinical counselor and been in private practice. I love that she gets to say I'm a holistic therapist. Been 20 years. I love that you're able to say that. And the reason I love that is because it is a life path and a calling. And it, in order for one to step forward in that, you not only have to talk about the law of attraction, traction, but you have to live it. See, there's no hiding. And I love the computer analogy, and I'd love for you to talk to this next point too.
Great.
About the fact that you just described a system.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when we get that realization, and never been able to get it on my own, I've always had to work with people. I have coaches now.
Sure.
Because we don't see ourselves very well. We could tell the same childhood story 100 times, and it would not get to what is that underneath of holding us back, does it?
It does not. Okay, so thank you. I love that question. Thank you. So what I try to do is when I'm working in my practice with clients, and I'll tell people, you know, I can try to explain this to you, but it's like trying to almost explain like the color yellow to a blind person. You can try, but until you have the actual experience of it, you can only get so far. So I'm going to do the best I can to explain this cognitively so people at least have some kind of a foundation for what I'm saying. And then I'm thinking maybe towards the end we could just do a quick little, like even a 5-minute demonstration so that the listeners can experience more of the shift that I'm talking about. So the whole idea with the subconscious mind is that so much of what happens as we're growing up gets stored internally. And especially when we're dealing with experiences that have like an intense emotional impact. So it could be traumatic experience. It could be like one big event, or it could be like even, you know, let's say a child is, maybe all their physical needs are being met and they're not being abused, but they grow up in a family where there's emotional neglect, or they grow up in a family where there's not a lot of money, or, you know, so it doesn't have to be like just one day, one big thing happens. More of the time, it's like these subtle messages that occur over the course of a person's upbringing.
Yeah.
So if they grow up in a family where there's neglect, let's say, the child doesn't have the ability to go, you know, my parents aren't meeting my emotional needs. There must be something going on with my parents. And I'm not knocking anybody's parents because, you know, trauma just gets passed generation to generation. But what a child will do automatically is, because children are naturally more self-centered until about the age of 12, you know, everything is about them, a child will say, I'm not getting my emotional needs met. There must be something wrong with me. You know, something must be going. So when that happens, the unconscious belief that forms is, there's something wrong with me, or I'm not enough, or I'm not good enough the way I am. If they grew up in a family where there's not a lot of money, they might internalize beliefs around money's never, you know, life is hard, life is a struggle. So then when you become an adult and you're, let's say you're trying to create money through practicing the concepts of the law of attraction, you can say, I'm wealthy, I'm wealthy, I'm wealthy, I'm wealthy. But if the subconscious program that you've internalized from the time you were young is life is hard, life is a struggle, there's never enough, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you're going to have a deep internal sense of lack, just like the child that grows up in a family where there's maybe an emotional neglect and believes there's something wrong with me, I'm never enough. What's going to happen is in relationships, they're going to be they're going to attract people that reflect those beliefs back. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know what's going on in your subconscious mind, you kind of just have to look at what's going on around you in your life, and your life is a reflection of that. So, and I don't say that from a place, like, I think we always want to have a come from a place of, like, compassion and empathy for ourselves, you know. So when I'm talking to people in my practice, it's just more like, okay, so we don't want to, it's not about judging ourselves for what we've mm-hmm. created. It's
right.
more just like saying, let's look at what is it that is showing up, and we can use that as an access point, a gateway to get to the subconscious, to go to the source of where these beliefs first formed so that we can start to heal them. And then when you can do that, it does create more of a permanent shift.
Yeah, I love that we're talking about this because I think each of us has our own story that we can point to about exactly what you said, only because in my case, I worked with a therapist. You know, when I had my job loss after 25 years, I worked with someone to help me understand why I thought that I'd never earn money again when there wasn't anything in my history that pointed to that. And, you know, now fast forward to where we are, right? Because you can have that epiphany, that moment, that awakening in the moment. But one of the things that's always been missing, for me at least, from the conversation of law of attraction is how to keep it going.
Yeah.
You know, how to keep the momentum going. And you call that traction.
Yes. Right. So I think, so what we're talking about then, from my perspective on how do you keep it going and how do you build traction, I think so much of this is about removing the blocks, the parts where we would block ourselves from having what we say we want. So in other words, I think most people that are listening are going to already understand this part, that, you know, the highest reality, we do live in an infinite universe. Like, there is an infinite supply. There is an abundance available to us. That's our natural state. So if we're not experiencing that, it's not because it's not available to us. It's because on some level, somewhere, we're blocking. We're like, the flow is blocked. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so what I was, you know, trying to say earlier, that what I found is that when, you know, as we're growing up, when we have certain negative core beliefs that we have learned through family of origin, school, whatever, peers, like messages that we've internalized, what happens is it's the beliefs that we form, but also there are usually intense feelings that go with the beliefs. So it's almost like the feelings and the beliefs are locked together. The feelings keep the beliefs in place, and they get stored in our body unconsciously. So it's like you get a negative belief, I'm not enough, money's not, you know, life is hard, negative feeling that goes with it, fear, unworthiness, sadness, whatever it is, locked in the body and then pushed out of conscious awareness. But we're going through life, and that's like the virus and the hardware program that keeps showing up in our life. So in order to build traction, the first thing we need to do
is access the viruses. Like, get to the parts where there's access to nuggets and the blocks and clear those. And that's not always easy because it means, you know, it takes a willingness to be to turn forward and lean into parts of ourselves that are holding pain. And who wants to feel pain? Like, I know I never do. I've been doing my own work 20 years. I never want to. As a matter of fact, some days I'm like, I'm like, how do my clients do this? It's so hard to feel pain. It's so hard. You know, like, I don't want to do this. But I know that the result, if I can, it's like a temporary, like I'll say, okay, it sucks to feel pain, but it's a temporary suckiness. Yeah, as opposed to I'm going to avoid the pain, and the unconscious pain and negative beliefs are going to just run my life the rest of my life. So it's more of a choice to say, I'm going to lean in, let myself go there for a temporary period, let it be more intense, allow myself to have whatever emotional release needs to happen, whether it's crying or, you know, like with anger, we're like usually hitting things or yelling into a pillow or whatever I need to do, get the emotion out. And then once you have the emotional release, then you can go to the negative beliefs that are formed, and then they become much more malleable. So yeah. Instead of trying to say positive affirmations 100 times a day, and if you don't, you can do that, and if you don't get to the negative belief that's unconscious, that's stored, it's always going to come up and sabotage and win in the end.
Yeah.
But when you get there, like access it, feel it, release the feelings connected, you know, get to the child part that's holding the belief, bring some comfort and soothe that child part, then you can, that's like getting into the hardware part of the computer, and you can change the belief. And when you change the belief at the source from the time that it was formed, it becomes totally permanent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like magic. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about whether I should share this one example. It's a little bit like PG-13, but I doubt there are any kids watching the show, and they should be in school. So, you know, whether they're on your time zone or my time zone. So this is just such a really powerful example that happened with a client, you know, that had come to me. So I'm going to go ahead and just talk about it for a minute. She'd come to me. She had been struggling with infertility for about 10 years. So she, you know, they had got married in their mid to late 20s. By the time she came to me, she was later 30s. And she'd been to a lot of, you know, like infertility treatments over the years because her dream was that she really wanted to have a child, have a baby. And so what I helped her do is I explained to her the same thing that I've just explained to you, which is like, okay, we need to access the unconscious stuff and see what's going on here. And there's this whole field of energy psychology that helps you do that. There's all these different approaches within that field that help you access the unconscious. And so what we did was, you know, I helped her get in touch with where the problem of the infertility was really coming from. And so she went back to a time when she was a child where she had been sexually abused. And it was so interesting because, and this is the part that's, I don't know what the rules are with Facebook Live, but I'm going to say it. There was a cup that had her abuser's sperm in it. And mm-hmm. when she came out of the session, she said, oh, my gosh, the last treatment we went to, the doctor handed me my husband's sperm as we're walking in to do the artificial insemination and said, hold this. And she made such a powerful connection. The belief she had formed was, I don't want anything to do with what's in that cup. I don't want anything to do with what's in that cup. And that belief was so powerful and so deep that for, you know, she wasn't able to get pregnant for like 10 years. So we only did 3 or 4 sessions, and she was able to clear a lot of the pain and the trauma around the sexual abuse experience. And then she said to me, you know, I'm just going to take a break. I'm done with trying infertility treatments. And sure enough, next month, pregnant after 10 years of trying. So it can be that powerful. Like it can be that intense. That her body, you know, like it's, that's just an example of how it can manifest physically.
And one of the things you're talking about, that is such a powerful example.
you know, part of this is ultimately helping clear the pathway to true happiness and fulfillment, isn't it?
Yes. I think so as we keep doing the work, my perspective is happiness and fulfillment is our natural birthright. Like it is our natural state, but the traumas that I was talking about, it's like they cover over our natural state. So the more we do the work to clear those, the more we just inherently move into a state of happiness, more calm, more sense of peace and fulfillment.
Mm.
Yeah, it's how we're meant to live naturally, but we're just, like I think I said this before, like we're kind of gunked up. We need to clear out the gunk so that we can be in our heart more of the time.
Yeah, boy, I built a whole brand around that. It's called crust busting.
Yes.
Because of my personal state. I mean, that's where I was. I was in a personal state, but I didn't know this. You know, I know that we're coming up on the half hour, and I know that this is a powerful, powerful topic, but you also, you know, you're building a base of knowledge for people and sharing information, but even when you get to that point, that awareness, you know, there is a next step. That next step is making sure we keep that traction. We keep moving forward. Because sometimes, isn't it true that once you uncover that one thing underneath, there may be something else?
Oh, there's layers.
We're all, like, we have many, many, many layers, all of us. So I want to just make sure that people know how to find out more about you, and I'd love to know what your personal message is, you know, and what this experience is of understanding about these beliefs that will help us build up momentum in achieving what we want.
Okay, so as far as how to reach me, my website is just my name, which is KorenBierfeldt.com, KorenBierfeldt.com, and there's information on there about my practice. And, you know, I knew you were going to ask this as one of, like, the final question of what would be a message that I have for people today, and I gave it some thought, and I, you know what I was thinking I would like to leave people with today as far as this idea of trying to, I think sometimes we can be so hard on ourselves. And so my message, I guess, today would just be that for people who are struggling, that you've been trying to create the life that you want, if you're finding that you're having, you know, a hard time with that, to just be gentle. Be gentle and be compassionate with yourself. And if you are having a hard time being gentle, then just say that you're willing to be compassionate with yourself. Could I find that the more we can come from that kind of place, like we're all on, it's, you know, life is hard. It's a hard journey sometimes. And so the more we can just come from a place of compassion, patience with ourselves, with this journey that we're on, it's paradoxically, a lot of times that will help us to move forward faster and to manifest more quickly whatever it is we're trying to manifest.
Yeah, I love that we learn from what you just said. And, you know, when you have that moment of clarity or you have that moment where the light bulb goes on, you're eager to get more of it. Corene, thank you so much for today. Thank you for
a
great show. And we'll be back with more of the Law of Attraction Traction next time with Corene Bierfeldt. Everybody, we're going to take a very short break. And when we come back from TransformationTalkRadio.com, we'll be right back.
Thanks for joining the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Corene Bierfeldt. Tune in every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio and learn how you can heal from the traumas and conditions you thought were impossible. Get inspired to pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. To learn more about Corene and her and the services she provides as holistic psychotherapist, visit her website at KoreneBierfeldt.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to TransformationRadio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Welcome to The Pause with Ellen Wyoming Deloy. That's me. I'm your host. Life can be demanding, and most of us get caught up in the busy go, go, go. But there is great value in taking a moment to pause and reflect. Constant momentum doesn't always equate to forward momentum. And I'm here to teach you how to take a strategic pause so that your next step is purposeful and in the direction of your goals. Develop self-awareness and skills that improve your ability to walk through life with intention. This is a path toward a more balanced, fulfilling state of being. Take a beat and then take action. The Pause with Ellen Wyoming Deloy starts now. Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am very excited. I have with me here today Tom O'Brien, acting coach, professional coach, and director. He is joining us from the beautiful, sunny country of Greece. And yeah, we're here today. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ellen. Thanks so much for having me on. And,
do you have any updates on the weather? How are things over there? What time is it over there?
It's really nice and hot here. As your listeners will gather, I'm actually not Greek from my accent. I'm just here for a couple of months. It's 7 p.m. and I've got the aircon on, so I'm nice and cool. But it is warm. It's warm. It's about, I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit. It's probably in the 80s.
Oh, it's good. Well, Tom, thanks so much for joining me. And so Tom and I have had the privilege of actually having already chatted earlier this morning and have been kind of, I've been up since 7 a.m. my time, but it's 9 a.m. here. You can catch The Pause every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, and 7 p.m. Greek time, now that I know. But we're coming together today because Tom's a coach and I'm a coach, and we work with different audiences, but we've really connected and bonded over some of the striking similarities, energy, and passion about how we work together. And so I wanted to bring Tom onto the show today for a few reasons. One of them, mostly just so that you could meet him, because not only does he work with actors and professionals, and we're talking people that you would know their names, but also he works with emerging entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs working to get their story straight, to get their kind of personal branding under control so they understand who they are, how they are, and how they show up in the world. And it's like all of these reasons and more that I really, really enjoy getting to work with Tom. So Tom, can you share with us a little bit, for folks who don't know you yet, you're from the UK, we can tell from how you speak, but like tell us about your background and tell us a little bit of your story, who you are.
Well, thanks again for having me on. It's so wonderful to have met you and work with you, and it's great to be on here and speak to your audience. Like Ellen said, I grew up in the UK, in the middle. Literally, if you put a dot in the middle of England, that's where I grew up, in a place called the Midlands, in Derbyshire, for those of you who've heard of it. My mum's of Welsh heritage, and my dad is an Irish immigrant who moved over to the UK when he was very, very young. And I grew up in a very industrial town that was not necessarily known for arts or creativity. It's actually where my local town is, where beer, it's had the most breweries actually in the world at one point. And it's where a lot of beer companies, so actually you get off the train in Burton-on-Trent, you can just smell the hops and the beer, which is very, very nice. And also, I don't know if you know Marmite. Do you have Marmite in the States? Is that
We've all heard of the curiosity. I think we associate it with Australians mostly.
Yeah, well, it's actually a British condiment that was also in my town. So it's famous for Marmite.
Oh, right, because it's the offings of all the brewing process, isn't
it? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, my goodness. Absolutely. The orange beer recycling people. Where, Tom?
I don't want to digress on it, but a funny story is that we have a thing called work experience where when you're like 15, you get to go and work in a job, and I was supposed to go and work in the theatre, and I actually ended up working in the Marmite factory for a week because my theatre had run out of space. So, yeah, so I have done that. But on the factory themes, my granddad was an Irish immigrant, and he came over to the UK actually working in another famous factory, Cadbury's. So what I suppose I'm saying is that my family are not from the arts or theatre at all or the entertainment industry. But I was very excitable as a kid, couldn't really sit still, couldn't really focus. And it wasn't until my mum took me to see a Christmas family show when I was very young, and she noticed that, well, while all the other kids were getting up out of their seats and, you know, not being able to focus, that I actually could. And it was the only thing I could focus on. And that sort of cultivated an interest in performing and theatre and creating shows. You know, I was creating shows in my like a model theatre, which so I'd make shows in there, and also I'd boss my friends around at the playground and make them do performances. And I think basically, I think any opportunities for there to be like something to be turned into a theatre, I would. And I was quite lucky, even though it was a very industrial town, and like I said, wasn't known necessarily for its art, there was some really good local teachers and some really like free access to free artistic groups. So I was involved in a drama group from a very young age and had an amazing teacher who at like 6, 7 I was getting into like Shakespeare, and you know, I was being introduced to this world of stories and storytelling and performing, and it really became sort of the thing that was my thing. You know, I think I then started understanding what an actor was and that I wanted to be an actor. And then, you know, that led me to just, I suppose I was focusing most of my time out of school on extracurricular. And I know, Ellen, you the same, you got into theatre at school and it was a real haven for you. And it was very much for me. And it became a real safe space for me to explore my creativity, but also express myself. I didn't really fit in where I came from. It was quite a conservative town, and the theatre community there really was a bit of a haven for me. And I was very lucky that at 18, I got a scholarship to go and train at a drama school in London, in the Arts Educational Schools, which was one of the sort of top schools for musical theatre performers. I did dance and sing, so whilst acting was my focus, I did, you know, nurture that side of my creativity as well, and I spent 3 years there, and it was very intense, it was very rigorous, and it was a bit like a boot camp for performers, really, for 3 years, but I did get a degree, and I graduated with an agent and started touring the UK in some productions. And yeah, I did musicals like Mamma Mia, the musical Annie. I did also some plays as well. I managed to do some Shakespeare plays as well. And was at a point where I was really, you know, very fortunate to be working. I mean, so many actors, you know, especially when you graduate, it can be hard to, you know, get sustained work. But I was fortunate to work. But I got itchy feet about 4 years in, and I started to get a little bit in my head, and I started to feel a little insecure and sort of not in my body, and that was always something I was, you know, as a performer, you know, you want to always be in your body and you know, not. And I think the director started to take over. I became quite self-critical and quite self-analyzing and just didn't feel that this was, you know,
can I ask
what
you
I was
a quick
doing.
Question about this part of your story. Like, I'm appreciating this, and I know we're going to get to it because your process is about being embodied. And so I want to just see, like, you started to notice even within yourself that there was a disconnect, it sounds like, between sort of the acting life and then the director life. And you started intuitively by listening to yourself to make a transition. And I want to just do a quick note. We're going to take a break in a couple minutes here. So can you just elucidate a little bit on that moment when you sort of realized there was this need to sort of like change tack because of what you could feel in yourself? And you're probably doing it. I may have just interrupted you, so I'd love to hear a little.
No, not at all. I think, I suppose I only can really articulate it now, you know, 10 years later with perspective.
Right.
But actually it showed up in my body in terms of heaviness and a little bit of depression. Because I felt really like nothing was making me satisfied. I was auditioning for jobs. I wasn't quite getting them. Then when I did get a job, I just felt heavy. I felt uninspired. And just that sort of low sinking feeling in the gut. And I remember my partner at the time was just like, I've never seen you, you know, unhappy. I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. And then I started looking at what the director was doing and the conversations the director was having with the actors and then the bigger picture and, you know, all the different people they were getting to work with. And that's when I started to become curious, and that ignited some curiosity. And I remember now feeling a bit more stimulated and excited. But I mean, to answer your question, yeah, it was really just this sort of heaviness and feeling of loss, really. Maybe even a bit of grief.
And grief. Oh, Tom, so I want to bridge to that, but we're going to go ahead and move to a brief break. So if you're just joining in, come stay tuned and stay with us. We're going to come back with Tom O'Brien. We're going to get more into what it is to work with an embodied coach for acting professionals and entrepreneurs. After the show, we're going to continue to hear a bit more of Tom's story. We'll see you soon.
Can you truly say that you know and love yourself? Tony Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney.
Your traits of ADD or ADHD? It can be hard to meet society's expectations of productivity when traditional approaches to time management and organization don't work for your unique brain. You need customized strategies. In the ADHD Self-Mastery Podcast with Bonnie Minku, you get concise, actionable solutions to help you modify your approach and achieve your goal. Learn more about Bonnie at thrivewithADD.com.
Hello, I'm Susie Parker-Goins of Blue Lightning Healing. I'm a channel, so I embody your guides, allowing you to have soul deep conversations. A Reiki master and energy healer, we work together to find and identify the blockages in your energy and learn to release them. I love looking at past lives and how they're affecting you in the now and what you can do to resolve them, and more as you learn about your possibilities. I'm available for phone and virtual sessions. Go to BlueLightningHealing.com for more information.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm with my guest today, Tom O'Brien, director, performer, performing performance coach, based out of the UK, currently in Greece. And he's been kind of filling us in on his journey to how he's become who he is. And we're just diving in on this transition he made a number of years ago through listening to his body and sort of his own intuitive process, which I think informs quite a bit of how he coaches, which I really love, because when people come into coaching through their own experience, right, it's often how it happens. There's such a lived experience and a truth to it that you can then help other people translate when they're struggling. And so, please, I'd love to hear kind of where we just left off as you kind of switched into this director role and then into your coaching, and then take us from there, please, and explain more about it.
Well, yeah, I think when I realized that I wanted to direct and actually not, you know, perform myself anymore and help actors, you know, with their performances, I think my acting experience definitely informed that, but I always think as an actor, I never quite found a process that really worked for me and kept me in my body. So I suppose that curiosity through directing and through helping actors, as well as obviously looking after the big production and the bigger picture that you've got to think about, and that's a whole other part of the job of looking at set lighting, you know, the set costume design, all of that. But actually, when, in terms of working with actors, I was really started on a quest on how to keep an actor in their body, how to keep them, their imagination stimulated so that they're really immersed in their character and connected so that their performance is not just truthful, but it feels authentic. And because I struggled that myself as an actor, I actually wanted to really find out how can we do this for actors. And I came across an amazing woman who had trained a director that I've been a big fan of. And she taught me this process, which was all about active analysis and how the body, when fed the right information, will signal a response which can help help connect you to a character. So looking at the beliefs and how, like, generalized beliefs that you've picked up throughout your life, how that shows up in the body. And, you know, that obviously is very true for us humans, but when we're creating a character, how if we really identify the core beliefs of the character, how they can then be used to create, and not just the energy that's needed to be seen, but also the lived, embodied experience of the character. And that was really a part of the lineage that led to Stanislavski, and later part of the, like, who's a very famous practitioner and used throughout the West in drama training. But it was this response that the body has to words that really unlocked everything for me, and as part of the process that I used throughout my shows and also now as a coach.
Do you see me, like, being so excited about what you're speaking about? And this is why I love talking to you and why I think listeners who are just learning about Tom should follow him, so you can find him. We'll post it in the show notes after, if I didn't already do it, his Instagram, just so you can be in touch, because he's like this quintessential coach for actors to get into the body because of the belief in the energy of how the body responds to words and images. But why it's so great if you're an entrepreneur or just somebody going through a transition who wants to become the person that you know you are meant to be, because, Tom, this works for actors getting into character. But to me, I hear manifestation. And I'm like, you can also use this in your real life to get yourself from A to B. And it's why you're not just a performance and acting coach, but you are just a coach to help people through big life transitions and entrepreneurs to become who they need to be in their business. And I so love this about you. So I'm just talking about you now, but can you talk a little bit more about how you do that work within the acting process and then also the entrepreneur process and some of the ways that that has showed up for your clients and what that feels like for you to work with them?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think ultimately I always use this in my hands. For those who can see, I put my two hands up, and what we're looking for, we're talking about the bridge to connect between the actor and the character. And so there's a connection, right? If the actor in a session isn't connected to their body, hasn't found or identified the beliefs that they have that day, whether it's about life, the world, people, men, women, you know, so I suppose if they haven't got a hold on where they are in their body and where their beliefs are, it's very hard for them to transition into character, because they're sort of, there's a lack of clarity in themselves. And what you really need as an actor is to be really, really clear if you're going to enter into another character show authentically. So I work with actors to, you know, intensify those beliefs and really identify them within themselves, and then also how they connect to the character. But with entrepreneurs and leaders, it can be so useful, because ultimately, whether you're presenting or you're performing or using the camera or actually just showing up for your clients, you need to have an understanding of what your beliefs are that day and how you might be bringing that energy into the work that you do, okay? And I think that can be so transformative. And I have worked with entrepreneurs on identifying not just their core beliefs, but also their story and how their beliefs are attached to their story. And I think any entrepreneur or coach needs something to hold on that and a really understanding of their story and how that's connected to their beliefs. So it's really understanding yourself, just like actors need to understand themselves before they enter a character. If that makes sense, that was clear.
It makes so much sense, and it's why I think what you're saying is so important, and I want to kind of phrase it once again just for folks to understand. When you're working with a coach or you're working with someone who's supporting you, you want them to know where they are so that they understand the difference between them and you. The last thing you want is someone to start kind of encroaching into a space to say that their way is should be your way and kind of starting to manipulate you into like a school of thought, as opposed to what you're talking about here, which is like identification of your self-sovereignty. Mm-hmm. And then helping the other person identify their self-sovereignty. And I think you haven't gone into this, but as they kind of identify their beliefs, you give them the space to identify if those are still their beliefs, if they work for them in present time. Because getting that level of clarity, whether you are a stay-at-home parent, an acting professional, or the leader of a Fortune 500 organization, is imperative because it will impact every interaction you have. And it's why I'm very picky about who I work with because of this. It's why I'm very picky about myself so that I'm clear for my clients. And Tom, why I know you're so great at what you do. Is there any more you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I think what I also believe in is we cannot really understand ourselves until we have fully expressed ourselves. So what I do in my sessions, whether it's with our own beliefs, you know, with the actor or the entrepreneur's own beliefs, or whether it's the characters, I'll do exercises actually over Zoom where they will do a simple task, and then they will start to, I will just give them permission to extremify the beliefs. So I will, you know, we'll have worked out what their beliefs are that day or the character's beliefs are. And then we'll just let them sit in the space and I will just intensify them just by giving permission for more and doing a repetitive action, whether it's like I'll get them to tidy up their room and I will just repeat the beliefs to them and then see what happens to their body over that time.
Wow.
And then I'll encourage their body to sort of take over and really express those beliefs. Because once you fully express them, you can understand if they're true, either for the character or for yourself. So that is really embodying. We need to take things to the extreme to really understand them, and that's something that's really a part of my process, whether it's working with actors or entrepreneurs.
I love this, and I'm so curious. Is there a good story that you've ever seen when you've kind of taken it and you've turned the dial up to 100 with somebody for a profound revelation, either with getting into a character or with a business or a practitioner?
Yeah, I mean, there's two really quick examples I can give. There's one. So what we never want to do as actors is make generalized choices. And, read the script and go, okay, this is what I think the person is, and this is who I think they are, and this is what they're trying to do in the scene. What this actor was very resistant to this idea of they were doing some terrible things in the scene, and I really knew it was coming from a place of, trauma, the character. And they actually didn't see it like that. They were very much in their head. They had an idea of how they wanted to play it. So once we'd done the text work and identified the beliefs, we did this exercise where I extremified the beliefs and found the germ of the character, the thing that really, motivates all their decisions. And what was so transformative about it was the actor got really emotional, and they said they felt like the character was really in pain and was really hurt. And it was so wonderful because when we stopped thinking and stopped overanalyzing what the text said and we just tried it out and we played, the actor did a full 180 on their perception of the character. And I think that's really powerful because I think that shows how the body can really tell us, not only for ourselves, but
I mean, and again, the real world application of this process, I just continue to think that like this is why the work that you do is so important, because I mean, you just illustrated the cultivation of empathy. and to understand more fundamentally sort of like where we are all coming from at a deeper level rather than the overanalysis that so many of us are trapped inside of. It's about, this is something you and I talk about quite a lot, the energy underneath it, sort of the nugget that you help to find, to find and pull out, to identify with getting under the story to get into sort of that embodiment. I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, the inside out. I mean, like what you said is the actor's job is to have empathy for the character they're playing so that they can get underneath. Yeah. And I think sometimes entrepreneurs, especially who are trying to serve other people as well, this can be used to really understand not themselves, but their clients, their customers as well. And I think the creative process is extremely, and this embodied process, what I call it, it can be transformative in understanding your clients, yourself, and how you want to work with them just by playing and expressing. It's not about being that client and like acting as that client. No, it's sort of understanding what that client might feel, or what you want your audience, the message you want to give, deliver to your audience, because you understand how they feel.
Yeah. Can you get all the world leaders to undertake a little bit of this training while we're at it? I guess a little bit, but also we could all use this. Tom, thank you so much. We just have a couple minutes left, and what I really want to share for people is that Tom and I are working together, and we're doing a workshop. September 15th, it's going to be about clearing the clutter, and we're going to go through it together. This is Tom's workshop. He's invited me in. I'm very excited, but we're going to be working with actors, performers, and potentially entrepreneurs. This is also for you if you'd like to register, to clear the clutter of what's going on so that you can get anchored into being embodied within the beliefs to start to measure if they're real or not. And we both have our own approaches to how we help our clients do this work, and that's why we think it's going to be so powerful, this double, kind of like double whammy with two people who align but yet also work differently. Tom, tell me, I just said my part about your workshop. Can you go ahead and give a quick share?
Absolutely. Like in terms of, I always believe different voices and different approaches. Actors need a different approach and need a different voice, and entrepreneurs need a different voice. And I think the combination of us, and like we said, we align in terms of how we want to release people so they are open and clear. But using an acting process and then an intuitive coaching process, I'm really interested to see how that clash and that combination actually, what that throws up for the people in the workshop. And I think it will be an informative experience for not just myself and Ellen, but for those who join us. And we are really looking forward to getting really quite deep and understanding how, as human beings, what we need to do our best work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to post that information, but just so you know, it is September 15th. It's at 11 a.m. Pacific. What is that? 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. in the UK. You'll have to plug into the time change after that. It's $79 US if you book before the 31st. That's the early bird pricing. It goes to $99 US after September 1st. We hope to see you there. We're capping it at 20 so that we can be very personalized and have a good experience. So do get your tickets now, and you'll be able to find those in the show notes. Tom, thank you so much for joining me today on the pod.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. And it's lovely to be here and talk more about transformation.
So absolutely. Join up, sign up for the workshop. Get in.
Thank you.
Hang out with us.
Thanks for being here on The Pause. Whenever you are listening and wherever you're listening from, we hope this time gives you some space from your day to reflect and gain some insight into where you're going and how you can make your next steps count. If you're really looking to jump into your personal growth journey, schedule a free consultation with me and learn how my coaching can help you to start taking meaningful action in your life today. Visit my site, EllenWyomingDeloy.com. See you next time.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday to you. With Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Ramsdale. Well, good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. We still, however, have a little bit of slowing on I-5 northbound just before the West Seattle Bridge as you're heading through the I-90 and into downtown Seattle. But everywhere else, traffic's actually looking pretty good. Hope everyone enjoys their off to probably maybe an early lunch or halfway through your work day or even almost off. Whatever you do, enjoy it. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, and it's Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein. Be calm, collected, and confident every day. Stay tuned. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The Senate Majority Leader says Democrats put together the American Rescue Plan to make the American dream more obtainable. New York Democrat Chuck Schumer claims President Biden's Build Back Better agenda will benefit American citizens for years to come. Meantime, the president, along with VP Harris and the Treasury Secretary, will be meeting with two groups of lawmakers today as Biden looks to pass his infrastructure bills that have been stuck in legislative limbo. Americans are continuing to feel pain at the pump. The national average price for regular jumped a cent and a half from Monday to $3.34 a gallon, according to the AAA station survey. Former South Carolina attorney Alice Murdoch will remain behind bars for a while, Scott Kimbler reports.
Attorneys ask that Murdoch be released on his own recognizance on charges he failed to make good on a wrongful death lawsuit after his housekeeper, Gloria Satterfield, died in the Murdoch home. The judge instead opted to hold Murdoch and undergo a psychiatric evaluation. Satterfield family attorney Eric Bland agrees.
We think it's a good decision, and it's just a good day for justice in our country. We're very pleased that the court gave us the opportunity representing the victims.
Murdoch was taken into custody last week at a rehab center in Florida. He did not fight extradition.
A Republican congressman expects to get charged with lying to the FBI over money moved to his campaign. Nebraska's Jeff Fortenberry uploaded a video to YouTube where he said the money was moved illegally about 5.5 years ago. Speaking in the video alongside his wife and dog, Fortenberry explained he was shocked at the charges he expects are coming, maintaining that he told the agents what he knew. Police in Norway are announcing new developments in the deaths of five people they're calling an act of terrorism. Officials released an updated statement yesterday saying the victims were all stabbed to death rather than killed by a bow and arrow, as previously thought. Norwegian authorities say the suspect, a 37-year-old Danish citizen, killed some people in their homes and some outside in public in last Wednesday's attack. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Here are the major rules for all KKNW Call to Win contests. After our contest on-air cue to call, the first completed call received at 888-298-KKNW or number given at time of contest will be selected and verified as the winner. You can win a prize valued up to $100. To be eligible, you must be at least 18 years old, have not won in the last 30 days, and reside within the KKNW listening area. Complete contest rules are available at 1150KKNW.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see partly sunny skies today. High temperatures around 60, 61 degrees. We'll also have a little bit of calm wind out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain showers. Moving in, low temperatures dropping down to about 51. For Wednesday, running out to the rest of the week, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures in the upper 50s to low 60s. Low temperatures in the upper 40s to low 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
How do you start your day? Are you focused, energized, and tuned in to your higher self? Or do you wake up anxious, unmotivated, and already overwhelmed by your giant to-do list? Welcome to Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein, where we'll have inspiring and practical conversations around how to reverse daily struggle and show up calm, collected, and confident instead. As a psychotherapist, spiritual advisor, yoga teacher, and influential speaker, Laura will discuss all things morning routine for increased productivity, mental clarity, greater connection with self, and better decision-making. So grab your favorite cup of joe and come sit down with Laura. Coffee with the Universe starts now.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Coffee with the Universe, where we have conversations around starting your day feeling calm, collected, confident, confident and connected to your higher self. Today I want to talk about when spirituality becomes an art of self-sabotage versus actually something that you are engaged in for personal growth. So my question for today is, are you really as spiritual as you think you are? And I think of my morning routine as a spiritual activity. And I'm going to talk about, like, what is spirituality? Because what do you do when you're not really sure? You Google it. So I found some interesting opinions and varied definitions of it. So we will get into that. But I was thinking, you know, is my morning routine a spiritual activity? So when I wake up, I trot myself downstairs and I do a combination of stretching, yoga, meditation. Sometimes it's a little bit of mantra work in there. I do a little bit of journaling and I do vary it every day. And this is all the stuff that I talk about in my Morning Magic course. And I do believe that this routine sets me up to have a much more productive, focused day. However, is this really a spiritual activity? Because I'll be honest, when I started thinking about it, there's days where my to-do list is a mile long. And so I'm like, okay, how can I, you know, get in this yoga routine? How can I make it go quicker? What can I cut out? So sometimes I find myself rushing through maybe my morning yoga or stretching activities because I just feel that pressure of wanting to start my day. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, I get all wrapped up in my little insight timer app where I'm timing my meditation. Oh, yeah, I got in my 5 minutes today, you know, check mark. It gives me another consecutive day. Okay, good. Yeah, I got my meditation in. But here I am now focusing more on like, oh, I got 5 minutes of meditation in. But was it really a good quality 5 minutes of meditation? How deep did I go? Was I actually meditating or was I just sitting there for 5 minutes ruminating over the things I have to do that day? So just because I do yoga and I meditate and I professionally work with tarot and the Akashic Records, does that make me spiritual? Or are there instances where I am just kidding myself and living under this smokescreen or this facade? Now, here's what got me thinking about this and wanting to talk about this in today's episode. So a little bit of drama happened. I'm going to share my drama with you. I was planning to do a talk at a spiritual center, and I created my little flyer, and I'm doing this with someone else, so we, you know, found the wording, and we're calling it like a spiritual happy hour, blah, blah, blah. And somewhere in this flyer, we put four spiritual seekers who are looking to find more joy in their life. Well, unbeknownst to us, someone else at this facility basically blew everything out of proportion and threatened to, like, remove her services from this place because we can't use the word spiritual seekers. And I thought, okay, is this like a trademark thing? Do people own this language, spiritual seekers? And to make it even more crazy, this person that I don't even know was saying that I was using this language to steal her business and to get her clients, and it was like my underlying way of doing this. And I thought, wow, I really had no words at first because I don't even know this person. I don't even know what this person does, the services this person provides. I have no idea. So here goes my ego now. Oh, my gosh. How can this person that claims to be an intuitive be spiritual? This person really isn't spiritual, and this is what my little monkey mind is doing. You know, how if this person was really spiritual, then they would know better than to get all worked up over this and to think that I'm, like, trying to steal their clients and blowing this out of proportion. And so my mind is going on. And then I stopped myself, and I was like, well, here I am judging this person for being a fake spiritual and being like, well, I wouldn't trust this person's services, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought, you know what? Me sitting here having this rant and judging this person really isn't all that spiritual either. So I had a pretty good laugh at the whole situation, albeit it being a little bit frustrating. Because, you know, when we are kind of set on doing something, someone's like, no, you can't do it this way. You have to, you know, make these changes. You can't use these words. Our egoic resistance kicks in, and it starts speaking in a way like, who does that person think they are? And they can't tell me what to do, and blah, blah, blah. So when we react to that, and when we start getting all involved in the story, I feel like we've lost our connection to spirit. We've lost that sense of spirituality. So what exactly is spirituality? Okay, so I Googled it, and I got a whole bunch of different answers. The first person that I tend to look towards, though, because I'm a big fan of Michael Singer, who wrote The Untethered Soul and The Surrender Experiment. So sometimes it'll be like, oh, what would Mickey do? Because he calls himself Mickey. So what would Mickey do? What, you know, what would he say spirituality is? And I actually found a quote of his, and he said, spirituality is being at total peace with all of the realities of life. And I thought that was kind of beautiful, because it's the realities of life that sometimes throw us for a loop, that sometimes create struggle for us, because when reality happens, we don't want it to be that way. And so we do everything in our power to try and control the situation, to try and change it, to try and either get what we want or not get what we don't want. And so when we can be at total peace with all of the realities, that's spirituality. So in this example, if I just, you know, recognize that, hey, you know, this is a reality of life, that there's going to be other people that have different perceptions than myself, can I deal with this? Or do I need to get myself all worked up over it? So I really like that. It is hard to be peaceful. And I do believe that setting your day up with a morning routine does help you deal with the realities of life, because you aren't waking up and just, you know, running out the door like a bat out of hell and already on edge and frazzled. So I think that having that time to yourself in the morning for that movement and for that meditation does help you get to that goal of taking spiritual action throughout the day. And also really to be more aware, because we have to be aware. If I was not where I am in my journey, I probably would never have stopped myself and said, you know, hey, you know what? You being all this judgy and getting all worked up over this isn't all that spiritual. I probably would not have had that element of self-awareness. So knowing what you're doing and being able to stop yourself and reflect is definitely a key. Okay, so other things that I found about spirituality, a lot of people and philosophies associate it with a belief in a higher power, like the Stoics, they believe that, like, the higher power is really the path of the universe. And in similar fashion, according to Chinese philosophy, the way, the Tao, is the natural order of the universe. So spirituality is the natural order of the universe. What does that mean for us? It's a little bit of a challenging one, I think. I do think it kind of does go back to Michael Singer's idea of being at peace with reality. Can we be at peace with how the universe unfolds? According to Krishna, spirituality and the higher power is really the mind resting in the stillness of the prayer of yoga. So that is relating spirituality to more of an act. Can you rest in that stillness during a yoga practice? Some said it was like being in service. Well, spirituality is when you selflessly serve others. I also found like self-awareness. Spirituality is just awareness of the conscious self and how that's different from the ego. Spirituality is an openness and expansion. It is also pure love. So there are many different definitions of spirituality. But for the sake of our own personal development and our growth, I think it's a good idea to look more at the acts of spirituality. Is what I'm doing actually from a place of love, compassion, openness, and expansion? Well, when I was having my little response to this other person's little meltdown, I was not feeling expansive at all. I was like constricted, and you know, it's kind of like I'm going to fight for this. And the reality is it's just a couple of words that apparently is really important to somebody else. That means, you know, and definitely is not that important to me. And is it okay if I can just surrender to that and let that go? Is that okay? And when I can be okay with that is the act of spirituality. So just, you know, again, being aware of the actions that you are taking. Now, what spirituality is it? A lot of times it's easier to know, like, what isn't versus what is. It's like, well, you know, we've kind of experienced what hasn't worked for us, or that what has made us feel not so open and loving and fulfilled. So we tend to know the what's not working before we know what it is. What spirituality is not? Number one, trying to interfere with someone's free will, which means making someone do what you want. So ladies out there that have husbands that don't put their laundry in the hamper, that leave dirty dishes in the sink, that make messes out of, like, situations that, like, you yourself would have to try really hard to make a mess out of. I have to segue here. I love my husband to death, but he's such a messy move. Raspberries. When he eats raspberries, he leaves, like, the little tiny, like, you know, a raspberry, if you break it off, it kind of breaks into little seeds, but they're kind of juicy and puffy. He, like, scatters those around the house. I would have to work really hard to take one little delicate raspberry and pick up all of the seeds and, like, you know, drop them. It's like the little Hansel and Gretel trail. I'm like, what the heck? So, ladies, you know what I mean here. Every time we nag or we suggest, well, you know, it would really help me out if you could, you know, put your socks in the hamper. And Jacob, you are newly married, so listen to this. Heed my words, because you're
I called out for this just yesterday.
What did you do, Jacob?
Oh, we were FaceTiming her mom, and she's like, hey, so how's living together and being married? And she's like, well, I'm still putting his laundry in the washer for himself. So yes, I am going to work on that.
Yeah,
that's early love right there. That's just early love right there. newlywed style.
Yep.
Well, and that's, you know, the thing, that we are going to do what we're going to do. We all have our idiosyncrasies. I mean, women are known for nagging and, you know, it is what it is. But if we can try to stop interfering with that and let our partners just be who they are, flaws and all, now we're aligning more to that act of spirituality than trying to really control somebody and force somebody to make them do what we want. And it's really exhausting if you think about it, trying to conform somebody to be the way that you think they should be. So with that said, Jacob, be mindful, but you know, just be yourself. That's all I can say.
So she tells me to.
Well, it sounds like you have a lovely new bride then.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality number two also is not fear. And this is kind of what I recognize, that this other person's response came from a place of fear that what I was doing was somehow going to put this person in a place of lack. But fear is not spiritual, nor is anger, jealousy, feeling like we don't have enough, competition in a sense. Now, yes, there is healthy competition, but some people are super competitive to the point where they are okay stepping on someone else in order to get ahead. Being all judgy and judging other people, definitely not spiritual. Comparing ourselves to other people. We are very unique, divine beings. We are all like snowflakes. We are not going to be like anybody else. And just getting stuck in that cycle of comparisonitis, definitely not at spirituality. And pride. You know, pride, I'm better than, look at me, that sense of I need to put myself on a bit of a pedestal in order to feel okay on the inside. Okay, so just a quick rundown of what it is and what it's not. And take a look at maybe instances where you might be overestimating about how spiritually conscious you are. Am I acting in a manner that does embody that openness, expansion, and love, or am I responding in a way that is closing me and creating a situation where we're just really contracting and shutting down? Okay, we are going to take a short break. This is a live call-in show, 1-800-930-2819. We are also live on Facebook, so if you have any comments or questions or would like to share an example or ask questions, please feel free to hop on with us. We would love to hear your thoughts and experiences about all of this. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual bypassing. What is that? And how might we be using spirituality to actually avoid certain things? See you in a few minutes.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today. You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up,
soft up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce,
and me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com and LeonDyer.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Welcome back to Coffee with the Universe. In this episode, we're talking about how spirituality can actually become a self-sabotaging ego trip. Are your actions as spiritual as you think they are? I wanted to bring up the phrase spiritual bypassing. I've actually heard this before, haven't given it much thought until today when I wanted to talk about this subject. So I looked up what exactly is spiritual bypassing, and being a psychologist, I probably should know this, but I didn't. It's actually a term used by psychologists. I was like, oh, who would have thought? And it refers to using spirituality to avoid confronting uncomfortable feelings or unresolved wounds, or to avoid taking responsibility for actions. And I'm going to discuss this a little bit further, but I just thought this was a really good phrase to throw out there, because it's just like a term that we can use for ourselves, say, hey, you know what? Is this really something that's coming from a place of openness, love, compassion, a sense of, you know, maybe a connection with a higher self, higher power, or am I trying to avoid something that's uncomfortable? Am I using it as an excuse? And, I mean, you know that we use things as an excuse all the time. We use our kids as an excuse. We use, oh, you know, the time. We use the money thing. We come up with all kinds of reasons to justify what we're doing, and we can actually use things like yoga, meditation, affirmations. We can use all of those things as an avoidance technique as well. Something that Michael Singer talks about, that I'm always doing like a little check on myself, is he's like, is what you're doing, and like, is what you're doing a distraction, or is it really helpful? Like, in the terms of techniques and strategies and things to help you with your personal development, is this just a distraction? So, for example, when I'm doing journaling or I am working in my planner, my morning routine, I had to do a check and say, hey, this routine, is all the time I'm spending here quality, constructive time, or is it just a way to distract myself from getting started with my day to then tackle some of the activities that I may not really want to tackle? So I'm always kind of doing that check, and I never really did that before, but when you talk about sometimes we use these tools and techniques as distraction rather than to actually serve us, I thought, huh, that is a really good point. So when we talk about like some of these spiritual activities as we move forward, I'm now looking at it through the lens of, is this helpful or is this being used to do like some kind of spiritual bypassing thing? In my research, I came across an article. High Existence, the website's highexistence.com, and I loved the title, 10 Spiritual Things People Do That Are Total BS, and I thought, oh, this kind of caught my eye, and there are 10 principles. I'm only going to go over four of them because they're really more pertinent to what we're talking about today. And they don't really dive into the whole psychology aspect too much. But I did want to talk about it because these are really good examples, and we all do them. And I'm talking about this not because, oh, I don't do any of these things. You know, I identified in all of these. Oh, yep, done that, been there, done that. So we all do these. The question is, do you want to be more consciously aware so that you can course correct, or do you just want to go on being oblivious about these actions that aren't really serving you? Okay, I don't have this article up here, so I'm going to have Jacob, what is the first one?
Yeah, the first one is participate in spiritual activities to make themselves feel superior to other people.
Oh, yes. Oh, I've been practicing yoga for 20 years now. I've been doing yoga since the 80s when yoga wasn't even popular and we didn't even have yoga mats. I eat a vegetarian diet because I care so much about animals that I just, you know, refuse to eat any meat products. I meditate for an hour every morning and an hour before bed. Look at me. Now, yoga, meditation, eating a vegetarian diet, there's nothing wrong with these actions. But have you ever started talking about, maybe in a conversation to other people, oh, look what I'm doing, in order to one-up somebody else? And this happens a lot in social situations. We're having a conversation and someone's like, oh, yeah, you know, I started yoga and I've been working at it for a couple of years now. And then there's this inkling to be like, oh, well, yeah, well, me too. I've been doing it for 3 years now. And guess what? I just started doing a headstand. There is that ego part of you that wants to make yourself look like you are better than. And we hide in the realm of these are spiritual activities. But the act of one-upping using a spiritual activity is not really all that spiritual. So catch yourself next time you're in a conversation and that inkling is to show how you are better than. It's hard. It's a lot harder than you think because our egos are just like right in there like, oh, yeah, well, I can relate. And then it's hidden under this, well, I can relate. Oh, I'm just sharing. I'm just being open and sharing. But no, there's an ulterior motive to how can I make myself look better than this person. It's so insidious. This is like my favorite one. I like try to be so good and then I catch myself and I'm like, look, and then I'm like, oh, trying to cover my mouth and take things back. But, you know, as well as I once it escapes the mouth, it doesn't come back in. All right, Jacob, what's number two?
Yeah, number two is use spirituality as a justification for failing to take responsibility for their actions.
Yes. Here's another good one. When we do something that we know we had a role in that maybe didn't turn out so well, sometimes we don't want to take responsibility for our actions. This is also a hard thing too, because it's hard to admit when we're wrong. The ego doesn't like it. The ego's like, no, I'm always right. I know everything. It's like a teenager. I know better than my parents. I know better than everybody. And when we operate from this place, we tend to not take responsibility for actions. But you will hear people say this, oh, well, that was just the universe's plan for me. Or, oh, you know what? I really needed to learn this karmic lesson. This is my favorite. I needed to learn this karmic lesson, which is why I did that. And I'm like, really? Maybe that is true. I mean, we do mess up. We learn from our mistakes. But maybe it's a little bit healthier to say, you know what? I made this mistake. I own up to it. I needed to experience it. I needed to learn from it. I did. I made amends. That, to me, leans a little bit more towards the spiritual side than, well, you know, I just needed to learn a karmic lesson without even trying to remedy or whatever it is that needs to be done in order to resolve whatever issue it is. And here's another one. I've actually heard this before. Oh, my spirit guides guided me to do so. So therefore, there's a purpose. And I thought, that's another one where I just like scratch my head. Here I am being all judgy now, like not spiritual. When people say this, when people say these things to me, I'm like, oh, they're kind of like fake spiritual. Okay, now I get it. And here I am then judging now. I know. Like I said, this stuff is really hard. It's really hard to not let the mind go there and fall into that trap yourself. But I think that's interesting. You know, my spirit guides told me to do so. And in a more serious context, we do see this with acts of terrorism in the name of God. You know, blowing people up, killing people, violence. Oh, you know, in the name of God, God told me to do this. And that is a great example of not taking responsibility for your actions. It's okay for me to be violent and do harm to people because I am going to convince myself and others around me that God said this was right. Now, I don't know, like, there's not a right version of God, whatever God means, whether it's Mother Nature, it's more like a universal energy to me, whether it is an old man in a robe with a white beard, like they teach you in all of my, what is it, the CCD classes, as growing up Catholic, they would give us like these little picture books, and for some reason God was always like this old man in a brown robe with a staff and like this white beard looking all wise. So that's kind of like what sticks in my mind. But regardless of what that version of God is for you, I don't believe that God is operating from a place of anger, fear, judgment. If anything, God is that pure divine love. I mean, God is the ultimate spiritual being. So to justify actions in the name of God, or to say, well, you know, my guides or God told me to do this, you know, I just want to be like, what's wrong with you? That is so not the case. So anyway, again, I know, I judge. Number three, Jacob.
Yeah, this is one that I certainly have done in the past, and that is judge others for expressing anger or other strong emotions, even when it's necessary to do so.
Yes, people get all worked up. Oh, you know, they really shouldn't get all worked up over things because it is such, you know, so much more peaceful and calming and spiritually grounding to just let the emotions flow through you and past you and not to get involved in feelings. I get it. But you know what? We are human beings. And we get triggered and we get angry and frustrated, and sometimes we even have moments where we want, like, revenge on someone or something. And it's important to understand that, you know, yes, these are just our feelings. We can detach from them, meaning we don't have to act on them, but it's not really healthy to try and suppress and pretend that these feelings don't exist. We have them, other people have them. So when we see other people like getting all upset, our best act of spirituality is, again, trying not to interfere with what's going on with them. Trying not to make somebody calmer, just allowing them to do what they need to do wherever they are on their path. So we can judge others for how explosive they are, how quickly they get angry. I'm guilty of judging my husband for not having patience all the time. I tell him, honey, you got to put on your purple patience panties. And he's like, I don't wear panties. He gets all offended. I don't wear panties. Men wear underwear. But the point is that I find myself getting irritated with him because he's impatient, and that's not really spiritual either, because now I'm getting all worked up. He's worked up, now I'm worked up, and that just isn't all that pretty. Okay, number four.
Yep, and this one speaks the most to my personality, I would say, and that is to overemphasize positivity in order to avoid looking at the problems in their lives and in the world.
How do you do that?
I tend to ignore the issue and then, but you know, put on a positive face, and I do that to protect myself, and I think that it helps other people around me, and in reality, it's an act of me being defensive and, you know, kind of trying to save face, and then I will block it away and revisit it later when it has gotten worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like trying to put on a happy face when things aren't really happy. And some of the tools and techniques here, back to that whole Michael Singer thing of, are these tools and techniques actually helping us, or are they being a distraction? Things like affirmations, mantras. You can't, like, if you, and just from, here's the psychologist part of me, if you were a victim of some sort of trauma, you can't sit on your sofa and recite positive affirmations and expect that to make, like, the pain and memories go away. You know, it takes the work of dealing with those emotions, of allowing them to surface, of allowing to feel, so that you can actually find healing in that. Saying a bunch of affirmations, I am happy, I am healthy, I am safe on the inside, isn't going to do anything if you just aren't that way. So we can use these affirmations and mantras as a way to really avoid just feeling some of that negativity. And here's the thing, a lot of people in the affirmation world believe that if you think negatively, it will attract negative stuff. Therefore, we should never have negative thoughts. Again, how unrealistic is that? So do I think that people who have a more positive outlook on life are generally happier people? Absolutely. But I don't think you can fake your way through that. And I don't think you can live in fear, being afraid of thinking negative thoughts, because that will somehow attract all the negativity. Oh, the law of attraction. That's what I was trying to think of. The law of attraction world. Well, if I say this, then I'm going to attract something bad. So, I think that's super unrealistic. Okay, we do need to take a short break. When we come back, I have a couple more areas to touch on, and I also want to talk about another instance where an act of spirituality actually just becomes this ego trip and something that becomes really harmful and hurtful to other people. So we'll get into that when we come back.
About shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Bettner. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBetton.com.
Who taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to MentallyToughWomen.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
With the universe, where we're asking ourselves, are we as spiritual as we think we are? Are our actions helpful and supportive to our personal growth, or are they a way of trying to avoid, to hide, to somehow be better than somebody else, to inflate the ego? And so that's why sometimes spirituality isn't really an act of spirituality. It's like one giant ego trip. It's more about feeding the ego than anything else. So we just finished talking about some of the key points on this this blog post that I found on highexistence.com. It is worth checking out because there's a bunch other on there. And during the break, Jacob and I were just talking about one of them talks about using substances and illegal substances, drugs, it all for the sake of spirituality, and you're trying to figure out how to pronounce ayahuasca.
Yeah, ayahuasca, that's it.
Ayahuasca. So it is a good read. There's more in there. Definitely check it out, and there's also some good memes, according to Jacob, in there as well. He's our little article Google researcher guy. Okay, a couple other things I just wanted to throw out there. A big issue that I find when it comes to people adopting spirituality that's really in the form of spiritual bypassing is when it comes to trying to belong to something out of a desperate attempt to not feel lost and alone on the inside. And I wanted to bring this up because we often find that people in powerful positions will sometimes, spiritual positions, will use their power in order to create harm to other people, whether it's sexual misconduct, whether it's manipulation in some way to get them to do violent acts on their behalf. There are some people who take advantage because they've created a community, an attachment, a following of people who are just so desperate to cling to something, to find that sense of family. And something I want to talk about, because I am a Kundalini yoga teacher, there was this huge, I guess, fallout with the guru, Yogi Bhajan, who brought Kundalini to the West back, I think it was like in the 60s, it might have been the 70s, I'm not sure. But he, you know, brought Kundalini, this yoga form here, popularized it, and had a huge following. And I don't want to say, like, I guess you could in some sense say like a cult-like following, because a cult is just someone who really buys into the teachings and philosophy of somebody and will basically do whatever they're told to do. Created a huge following, and there was this conspiracy where some women spoke up and said that there was a lot of sexual misconduct going on, things that you would think a spiritual guru wouldn't do if they truly were a spiritual being. And yes, there's people who, teachers who no longer teach Kundalini and have like renounced the whole thing because they were so devastated. They were such followers of this one person that they just couldn't emotionally handle it. There are teachers, even at my studio where I teach now, that quit because they just, you know, lost all faith in it. But the reality is that this one person was not the father of Kundalini. Yes, this person brought this form of yoga to the States, and we're grateful for that. I mean, I'm grateful for it. It's a beautiful form of yoga. But this was not the inventor of Kundalini yoga. Kundalini yoga existed, you know, thousands of years before this person was even born. So when we see somebody as spiritual, that's a human being, and we decide that, oh, this person is the epitome of spiritual, they're so enlightened, and, you know, I need to follow this person, we have to be very mindful that this person is human too. And as humans, we mess up. Our ego interferes. We make mistakes. Sometimes we make mistakes that I don't really think are mistakes. They're, you know, not so great intentions that have legal consequences and harmful consequences. I don't consider that a mistake at all. But in the easier sense of this, even if we're someone that has been practicing yoga for 20-something years, we're still going to make mistakes, and we're still going to screw up. And when you have these people in powerful positions, and you see this too in the Catholic religion, you know, priests that are accused of molesting boys, you know, these things happen. And we have to be very aware that spirituality is not all in all, like in one person. Like one person cannot be 100% a spiritual divine being. It is just impossible because of that human element. And unfortunately, I think in the case of Yogi Bhajan, his ego just got the better of him, and he was an important person, looked up to, well revered. You know, I don't know all of the details of it, but he was well respected, and people just kind of did what he said. And I think it's a very dangerous place to be, because our act of really wanting to learn from a guru, from those that carry this wisdom, I think that in itself can be an act of spirituality, but getting so wrapped up in it and just following somebody blindly, I think is very dangerous. And I don't think that at some point the spirituality that sense there just becomes one giant smoke screen. So that's my two cents on that. I love Kundalini, and I know that there was this whole scandal around, you know, the father of Kundalini. I'm like, no, not the father. And I just, you know, if anybody out there is listening that is a Kundalini yoga teacher or has stopped doing it because of that, I encourage you to go back, because we can't just give up something that is really important and valuable and good for our health because one person chose to take actions that were not also ethical and moral. We can't give up things that are good for us. So you can't cut off your nose despite your face. We are going to find moral people in all aspects of spirituality. Yoga teachers, there's been yoga teachers that have been accused of molesting their students, okay? So you're going to find it everywhere, all right? So just kind of be mindful of that. The lesson here is really to be acutely aware of your actions, your thoughts, and any hidden intentions that you might have when practicing elements of spirituality, and then to be able to self-correct. And this is why I talk about morning routines, why I have a little program, Morning Magic. You can get that at cwtu.net/morningmagic. The reason why I created that was to help you do just this. Be aware of your actions. Be aware of your thoughts. Be aware of the hidden intentions. And to catch yourself when you are doing some of these things in the name of spirituality, you can say, hey, you know what? That really isn't all that spiritual. So I need to just stop, and I need to do something to rein myself back in. So if you don't have a morning routine, check it out, cwtu.net/morningmagic. All right, it's a very large feat to be truly spiritual and enlightened. We are human after all, and our egos will definitely drive our bus at times. The key is to just be aware of our actions, thoughts, and hidden intentions, to notice when we're acting in the name of spirituality that is more self-serving than anything, and to then be able to self-correct when needed. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time on Coffee with the Universe, here on Transformation Talk Radio, every third Tuesday of the month at 2 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for joining me for Coffee with the Universe. Make sure to tune in next time as I continue to share tips and tricks to help you stop waking up anxious, uninspired, and energetically drained in the morning, and feel calm, connected to your higher self, and confident instead. If you would like more information on my Morning Magic course, please visit www.cwtu.net
cwtu.net/morningmagic.